Epilogue. I sit here transfixed on my target until my bum aches. I don't mind that part so much. At least I can feel again, even if it is just my aching bum. I'll admit I had no idea what to expect when God, as I like to call him, made me into a karma. It wasn't until the whooshing sensation exploded through every inch of me, turning into what I imagined electrocution felt like, when I realized I could feel again. I clutched my hands together, trying to stop myself from screaming. Then it was over. I stood outside a white door. I opened it, peering inside to reveal a blank room. By blank, I mean that the walls were white and so was the floor. If I didn't know any better, I'd say the room connected with my mind. A carpet seemed to rise out of the floor, followed by the rest of the furniture. I yawn at the thought of furniture serving as a reminder of my bed, a king-size divan with the perfect mattress. I would prefer to be there, but instead I have to watch my target, a man in his late 20s, with floppy blonde hair. He reminds me of a member of a failed boy band from the 90s. He finally steps out of his car and strolls into the off-license across the road from the roof I'm sitting on. I wait, my full attention on the door. When he reappears, he's clutching a bottle of something blue. I take a guess that it's alcohol for the 14-year-old girl he's been chatting up for the past few weeks. She thought he was 17 and attending the local college. That part is partially true. The boy band reject attends college most evenings as a janitor. Thanks to the television in my room, which shows me what I need to see about my targets, I've learned a few things about Larry. He's a 30-something, unhappily married, poor excuse for a man, and enjoys talking to underage girls online, using false names and claiming to be half his real age. I use the drain pipe to scramble down onto the street, then follow him from a distance. He headed towards a familiar-looking park. Familiar because it's the place where I made sure my killer would never harm anyone again. Won't it be a coincidence if I give Larry his just desserts there? A young girl sways on the swing as he approaches. Tegan? Larry asks, like he doesn't recognize her. He's spent enough time looking at images of her. She hasn't quite succumbed to the full frontal nudity he's pestered her for, but she relented at sending him photos of her in revealing outfits. Yes. Her voice is low before her mouth drops open in an O shape. She stands, takes a step back, and looks behind her shoulder. Is everything okay here? I question as she looks at Larry again, and she notices me approaching them both. Everything is fine, Larry answers for her. I wasn't talking to you. I stare at him until he looks away. He takes in a greedy eyeful of Tegan as he walks towards me, moving his mouth closer to my ear. My daughter is having a strop. I'm trying to convince her to come home before her mother pulls all her hair out from worrying. So, if you could leave us alone, I'd appreciate that. I have to give him credit. I might be convinced if I wasn't aware of his online activities. Your daughter? I ask. He nods. Thanks. Don't thank me yet, I say, grabbing his arm. Run, I instruct the girl. I didn't know. I thought I was talking to a... Her eyes dart from me to Larry. Her legs almost buckle as she takes another step backwards and grabs at the framework of the swings. Run, I yell as Larry tries to push me out of the way. This new body of mine is stronger than the last, and I barely stagger. Instead, I return the favor, shoving him onto the wet ground. He almost lands in a pile of dog muck, but hurls himself onto his shoulder to avoid it. "Who the fuck are you?" he hisses, but I doubt he wants me to explain that to him. "Karma, and I'm a bitch," I say. Sure, it's cliche, but I haven't come up with a better line yet. I slam my foot down against his face, breaking his nose. His head hits the ground. He'll feel that when he comes around, but at least he isn't dead. When I accepted the offer to become Karma, some of the others seemed in awe of the fact I killed my own murderer. Exacting revenge in what they called a typical karmic way. I signed up to stop people like my killer and the guy who is laid out at my feet, bleeding from his head wound. But I never wanted to be renowned for killing anyone. I take out the phone from my jacket pocket and call 999. I tell them there is a man preying on young girls in the park. I give them his description, then take the memory stick from my pocket. I swiped it from him earlier when the train was crowded. He hadn't even noticed me taking it from his messenger bag, or all the previous occasions when I followed him. I place the memory stick into his pocket. I leave the park, take the phone to pieces, then bin it three streets away as I hear police sirens heading for the park. Job done. I head home to my luxury mattress.